Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello. It didn't go. It's going now. Hello, people of Earth.
People of Earth, Hucklebug Nation.
Welcome to the Hucklebug. I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We are Bet and Steny. It is episode 775 of the Hucklebug. We're 25 away from 1,000. Is that right? No, that's not right. That's not right at all.
I don't know.
We're 25 away from 800. We're 225 away from 1,000.
But it ends in a 5. So it must
be obviously
special.
It's special. Clearly it must be special.
Oh, now the pressure's on us.
I know. Why do we do it to ourselves?
Oh.
It's crazy. We have no rips, so we're going to start with your shout-outs. Roar!
Roar!
Roar! And our only shout-outs this week are on Facebook.
Yeah.
We have a shout-out for Kelly with an I-E.
Kelly with an I-E.
You can go ahead and start that one
can
off.
Can I please, can I please take this?
Yeah,
she says, Bet, so glad you have a close PT, physical therapy. Good luck with your sitting, stepping practice and figuring out your eating again. Well, I'm trying that, but it hasn't worked so far. Steny, glad you've had fun with guests to your new place. We are still unpacking and cleaning out the garage. Oh, my God. Kelly, cleaning out the garage in Blacksburg was such a memory for me.
Oh, man, I bet.
Of our old place. I'm thinking about seeing the Sheep Detective soon.
It's good.
But then she says, Kevin turned 70 today. Her husband, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, Kevin.
70 today.
We know Kevin.
Could you please give him a B-Day shout-out?
Love we certainly you, can.
Well, we certainly can. I love Kevin. I have to tell you.
I do
you,
too. Because, I don't even know him, but I love him.
Well, because you've never met him, but Kevin has the most wry sense of humor. Kevin used to just make me laugh. He has
what I remember
best.
About Kevin is that he enjoys it when we swear. So happy fucking birthday, Kevin.
Happy fucking birthday, Kevin. But he had the most wry sense of humor, and I love his sense of humor, and I love Kevin. So super, super happy birthday, Kevin.
Yeah. Super happy fucking birthday. 70 is a big milestone. Congrats.
Well, and my sister just turned 70, so she knows it.
There you go. Woo-wee. All right. She says she ends it with love to you both. We love you too.
Mwah, 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 mwah. Mwah, Kelly with an I-E.
And then below that, we have two pictures from Doug.
Doug, we are the Doug.
We are the Doug.
We are the starcher. Now, tell me about the second one.
So, all right. So, the first picture is the first picture that we're looking at is Lynn, Saskita, Doug, and the Pete.
The Pete.
After
yes.
the show, after Mystery of Edwin Drood,
right.
which Doug and Lynn flew out to New York to see. And then the picture below that is a selfie that Doug took of himself with Pete, and Pete not realizing
that the man sitting next to him
is Doug. Yeah, that's Pete.
Oh, that's the Pete. I thought he was like at a baseball game or something.
No, no, so click on it and bigot it. It's in the theater.
Okay.
That's why I did a ha-ha react
to it. Oh, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. All right. That's it. Those are your shout-outs, everybody. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We love you all.
Appreciate it. we're going to jump straight into the show because I feel like we got a lot. And our first order of business is movies. I have a movie this week. You know, a lot of times, one or the both of us will have a little story that goes along with the movie that we watch. And then I feel like everybody's sitting at home going, well, what fucking movie did you see after all of this? So let me start by saying that my movie was Begonia, and it was fucking great. And we'll talk about that in just a second, but also a brief story before, which is that my plan had been to watch Project Hail Mary, and I failed in that plan. And so my backup was, then I'll watch Begonia, because I know I want to see Begonia also, which was on Netflix. And then just as I started the movie, it was last night at 10:30, just as I started the movie, how best to put this delicately, I had a sudden onslaught of Milo's old complaint.
Oh, my Lord.
And it was exceptionally violent. So I had to run down the hallway and take care of that business. It was most unpleasant.
Right.
Yeah. It felt food poisony because it wasn't it wasn't just, you know, having to go to the bathroom. It was, you know, just like the cold sweats and everything that went along with it.
No.
It was miserable for about 20 minutes and then it was over.
Maybe Begonia would have done that to you. Really?
I hadn't even started it yet, so I can't blame the movie.
Okay.
But I was, the whole time I was sitting on the toilet, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to watch a movie now because, you know, now it's like 11 o'clock. I honestly should just go to bed. But I need a movie for tomorrow, and I knew I was busy this morning, so I came out and I soldiered on. But I loved the movie. The movie was great.
Bette,
of course, talked
wild
about it
ride.
A couple weeks ago.
Just a wild ride.
Such excellent casting. Everybody was great. There's very few people in it. At the end, when the credits rolled, it said, and Alicia Silverstone. I was like, what? Who was Alicia Silverstone?
It took me forever to realize who she was. Yeah,
and then I had to pull up the IMDb and go, that was her? Oh, my God.
Oh, my
Very interesting. What a weird and delightful, dark movie.
Really?
It did make me laugh, actually. I saw the comedy in it.
When it comes up as a comedy, you got it.
I think maybe absurdist is a better way to look at
absurdist
it.
Absurdist is good. That's good.
Because it doesn't really bear any relation to real life, but it bears a lot of relation to real life. I mean, I think we can see pretty easily that the bad guy in this movie is, you know, evil corporate overlords, which I'm
exactly.
so on board for. I'll watch any movie about killing off the evil corporate overlords. But it was just a delight. And, man, what's his name? Jesse Plemons. Boy, do I love
Plemons,
him.
Oh, he was great.
Yeah. And so was Emma Stone, who I've been iffy on in the past.
Yeah.
So I thought she was also very good. And
she was great in this.
Loved Don. Poor Don.
Oh.
He didn't have the best time in this movie.
No, he didn't.
But, you know, everybody in the movie was pretty fucked up in one way or another.
Yeah.
But really good. Offbeat for sure. And not for everybody, but I'm with Bette. Big thumbs up for Begonia.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm really glad that you watched it and liked it so much because I'd been on the fence as to whether or not I would watch it. And, you know, your glowing review definitely pushed me towards it a little faster. So,
thank you.
Thank you. What do you got? What's your movie?
I have a movie that I knew I needed to have a movie, so I watched it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Netflix as well.
Okay.
It's being advertised to me. It's called Marty, Life is Short.
Marty, Life is Short. Oh, the Martin Short movie.
The Martin Short documentary.
Yep.
Yes. And it was really unexpected. Because I thought it would just be about Martin Short and who he was and how he got famous and, you know, all the stuff, like I've seen the John Candy movie and, you know, all of those. But it wasn't. It was so much more.
Yeah, I do wonder if the recent death of his daughter maybe reshaped that movie.
Well, and I didn't know about the death of his daughter till the end of the movie.
I did, really recently.
When
it was just a couple months ago.
Dedicated to her.
Yeah.
But this is just a show about who he is, and apparently who he is that he is the most loved person in show business.
He's
and,
very
and
beloved.
I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
They show clips of Tom Hanks, who adores him, Steven Spielberg, who adores him, and of course, and all of these people. And when I say at the very beginning of the movie, the first clip is from Steve Martin, of course, and he says, "Here's what I can say about Marty. If you're going to throw a party, and you invite Marty to it, and then a couple of weeks, Marty comes out and says he can't come to the party, you just cancel the party."
No point.
And
I
thought that was kind of a nice tribute. Yeah. But then I realized from watching this movie, it's incredibly true.
Yeah.
Because he... Well, the thing about it is that he used to go out every time he went out, he had a video camera on his shoulder and he filmed his life. He just filmed his life, his family, his friends, whoever came in, you know, whether it was Tom Hanks or anybody else. And he used to throw parties, and all these people would come to his parties, and they would sing, and they would, you know, there'd be a time when you he hired a piano player, and everybody would sing.
And gather around the piano and sing.
He is just so great, and everybody loves him. And you know, he went through meeting the woman of his life forever, his wife who passed away. And he got over it. He lost a brother and his father and his mother. You know, and he learned about loss. And he talked about it. And he said, "Boy, you just have to get over it. You have to come back. And you have to do what you do." And John Mulaney is one of the talking heads who loves him as well. It is just, I promise you, it is a feel-good documentary. Just makes you so happy. You will love this movie.
Okay, I will add it to the list. Marty, Life is Short on Netflix.
Netflix, yes.
Okay. All right, excellent. We're rocking right along here. I have not a binge watch. I have a binge listen this week. And this is actually—it's actually from a couple of weeks ago.
Well, you know, when I saw your outline and it said binge watch, listen, I thought listen was your.
This
is a binge watch.
It's a binge listen. It's not a binge watch. It's a binge listen. So I'm not sure when or how I happened to download these particular albums, but sometime in the last, I don't know, 5 years maybe, I downloaded three comedy albums by Mike Nichols and Elaine May.
I know so little about them.
Same here, Bet. Same here. I mean, I knew of them, of course, and I'd seen you know, a 2 or 3 minute thing on say a comedy retrospective, right? Or And I've seen Mike Nichols films, and I've seen Elaine May films, although I have not seen anything with them together.
Right, and you know, they were involved with Alan Arkin in the...
Yes, yes. Right. And so So anyway, like I said, I downloaded those some years ago, but never listened to them.
Oh.
And as the weather's gotten nicer, what I've found that I've been doing is I'll go for a walk around my little complex here where I live. I'll walk around twice, usually it's about a half hour. And so I'll put my headphones on, and sometimes I listen to music, but this particular day I didn't really feel like listening to music, and I didn't have any podcasts I was into. So I just kind of was scrolling through, and I'm like, oh, Nichols and May. You know what? Maybe I'll listen to this album. I'll listen to this Nichols and May album. So I did, and it was hilarious. And so the next day when I went for a walk, I listened to the next album. There's three out. Oh, shoot. Do I know what they're called? Let me.
And they're still funny.
They're still funny. They're not. And they're not like, you know, like a lot of stuff from that time, the 50s, the 60s, a lot of stuff you'll find is problematic now, right? Because it's racist or whatever.
I'm okay with that.
You're okay with racism.
I'm a racist.
That doesn't mind racism.
Baby. I'm a racist.
That's all in favor of racism.
Yeah.
Sorry, hang on one second. All right, so the albums are called, there's one called An Evening with Mike Nichols and Elaine May. There's one called Improvisations to Music. And then there's one called Mike Nichols and Elaine May Examine Doctors. And all three of them are about a half hour long, all three albums. An Evening with Mike Nichols and Elaine May is in front of a live audience. The other two are just in the studio. And the greatest thing is, I think it's at the end of, Nichols and May Examine Doctors. There's like a 5 minute, it's an outtake. And it is just the two of them developing a bit together. And it is, and cracking each other up. And it's fucking hilarious. It was the best thing on all three of the albums.
Just seeing writers write.
Yeah, exactly. You know how you always talk about how you wish you were in the room when they were
exactly.
working that up?
Exactly.
You get That's to be the in the room I while they're want. Working up a bit. Oh, it's too man. Funny. And it made me think of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, because I remember there were a couple of episodes where she was teaming up with a guy and they were kind of going around to house parties and doing bits at house parties. And I was like, oh, they're like Nichols and May here. And in fact, it might have been during Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. It might have been when I was watching that show that I decided, oh, maybe, you know what? Maybe I should listen to some Nichols and May. And I downloaded the albums then, and then I never listened to them. But anyway, I do really recommend them. You can find them on YouTube. You can find them wherever you get your comedy podcasts, I guess. I'll try to leave a link to that one where, like I say, they're just working up a bit together.
Oh, I'd love to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like 5 or 6 minutes long. And like I said, it's just them developing an idea and just totally cracking each other up with it. It's a lot of fun. All right, what do you got, Bet?
Well, I think my next one is PT.
It is PT.
And let me tell you my word, people. I'm still doing PT. And that's right. Frankly, I am loving it.
Are you rocking it?
It breaks me up. It makes me sore.
Yeah, but that's how you know it's working.
But exactly.
As long as it's a good sore and not like a pulled muscle
sore. My sis keeps telling me if it doesn't hurt, it isn't working.
That's true. That's true.
I did my first two the last time I talked about it. This week I had one on Tuesday and Thursday, and I had the same PT person. It wasn't that guy. It was a girl.
Okay.
And she came out and she worked me with the same things, the resistance bands, the lifting, the squeezing of my legs, whatever.
Yeah.
Then she took me up to the parallel bars, which were hard for me because I had to do stuff while standing, which makes my back hurt. And she made me move my legs, and then move my legs back, and then do steps. And it was okay. It was okay, but it was a little hard. But then Thursday, I came out. Oh, and by the way, both times I got up out of my chair. I didn't.
Nice, good. You've been doing your sit stands. That you can do at home. You can't do parallel bars at home. But.
Well, she maybe do double sits to stands on Thursday.
All right.
And that was kind of hard because every time I do sit to stands, I just want to put my hands out because I'm not holding on to anything.
Right.
I want to keep my balance. I want to keep my balance. That's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
But then after I did all of that stuff, she put me down in the chair and she said, well, we got a new step.
Mm.
And I said, step. And I thought she was going to make me go up those stairs that they have there in the thing because that's the thing that scares me. And she said, no, it's a new step. It's a new step. It's over there. And she took me out to the elliptical trainer, which I'd worked on, you know, the last time when the guy said, give me 10 minutes if you need it, you know. And she said, I'm going to put you on this. And you just, I'm going to put your feet in it and your hands in it and you just go.
Yeah.
And so she put the timer on and I went and I started doing it. And I love, if folks, if I had a place in my life or in my house that I could actually put an elliptical trainer, I would put it in my house. I would go into debt if I had to buy one because it's so great. I can just do it forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she said, just do it. And so I was doing it and I was hoping for 10 minutes and I was working it and I was working it and, I was working it some more and, 7 minutes came and, 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 10 minutes came, and I started looking around for her, and she was nowhere in the room.
What's going on?
And I was still going on, and so I just kept doing it, just thinking she'll come up here in a minute, and I just kept looking around. I got to 14, 15, 16 minutes.
Man.
At that point, I didn't realize until that day that it also counts your steps. I had over 1,000 steps.
Oh, nice. Good for you.
And so I was still going and still looking around the room.
Yeah.
And I think I got to almost 17 minutes when she finally came out and said, okay, okay, you've done well. And then she helped me out of the elliptical trainer.
Yeah.
And my legs were just my legs were just like jelly.
Yeah.
And I said,
yeah, that's a long time.
Yeah. I said, could you please, if you wouldn't mind, could you please just watch as I go out to my car? I think I'll be able to get there, but just watch me to make sure I don't fall and break my face. And she said, of course. And so she did. And I got out and it was great. And it was, I love PT people.
Yay.
And I've got two coming up this week. When I come home and I don't have PT, I'm still doing my leg exercises.
Yeah,
I'm working it. I'm working it, people. I'm working it so hard.
She is doing it. She is
doing
the thing.
And, every day I come up and I can get in my house on those two steps and I can get through my kitchen to the two steps.
Excellent.
And it's
you're doing it.
Things,
you're doing what you're supposed to do,
things
baby.
Exactly as we say from the Beatles, things are getting better.
That's right. Exactly it. Excellent. Well, good for you. Proud of you as always.
Yeah.
All right, I have a video of the week. This is kind of a continuation of last week's video of the week.
Yep.
As you guys know, last week we gave a shout out. Bette gave a U rule, in fact, also to Stephen Colbert, my former husband.
Yeah.
We parted amicably. There was no wrath or anything.
Well, you knew he was already married, so you let him go.
It's true. And he's a little too Catholic for me, to be honest. It's fine, you know. I respect his position. It's just not my position. Anyway, so Stephen Colbert, as you all know, went off the air on from the Late Show last week because he was fired by CBS.
Yes.
Even though he has the number one talk show in the country.
Bastards.
Fucking losers. I hate them. What he did was, 24 hours after his last show on CBS, he hosted a public access show in, I think, Ohio called Only in Monroe.
No, it was Michigan.
Michigan, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you. I knew it was in that general area, so my apologies.
I've seen clips. I haven't seen the whole thing, but I'm sure.
That's right. He says Michigander.
I am sure that Jeff Daniels completely commandeered this.
Oh, it was great. Well, now, apparently, when Stephen first took over The Late Show, I think the day before his first episode, he also went on Only on Monroe and commandeered them for one night. Just public access, just like, I'm here, I'm going to do one show. And did one show, and it was a lot of crazy shit. When his Late Show ended, he went back to Only in Monroe and did one crazy episode. And he interviewed the normal hosts, the people who usually host Only in Monroe, the two ladies. Just kept giving them shots, got them hammered, and talking about stuff.
Yes.
It's an hour long, so like last week, our video of the week, a bit long this time. But if you have time, do watch it. It is a lot of fun.
Like I said, I've just crazy only subversive seen shit. Clips. I've seen a lot of clips. I've never seen it through. But it is Michigan because Jeff Daniels was there. And
yeah, that's where he lives.
Jack White.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Jack White was his musical director.
Yes.
Yeah, he's really funny. That, he's super just deadpan.
And that Stephen did this, I mean, it was perfect. It was a perfect ending to ending his show.
Yeah.
And he got to just fuck off.
He just
CBS
got to do what he wanted to do. Yeah, exactly.
And CBS got mad, which I'm so glad that they got mad because,
hilarious.
You know,
so
nothing
that's my video.
You can do to him now.
That's right. But that's my video of the week. It's Stephen Colbert on Only in Monroe. And I'll leave a link for it if you guys haven't seen it. And I imagine most people by this time would have seen, like Bette says, a couple of clips at least. But it was a delight and a lot of fun, and I do recommend if you've got a spare hour, watch it.
And it's just the way that Stephen has fun.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so different, obviously, than what he did on The Late Show. But there were there were things in it that reminded me of Strangers with Candy. Not plot-wise or anything like that. Strangers with Candy was so much fun. But it was fun because it was subversive, and it was... it was anti-establishment. You know, it was taking the thing that you know and then turning it inside out.
Well,
and it was just a lot of fun.
I never saw a lot of Strangers Candy, and I think I need to find it and watch.
It's on. Where is it? Oh, it's probably on Paramount Plus because it was a Comedy Central show. So you know, now it's of course also owned by CBS fuckers. But I think you would enjoy it, Bette, because at its heart, it was basically a satire of after school specials.
Right.
And it's gross, of course, but it's also a lot of fun. Anyway, that's my video of the week. I will leave a link for it. I hope everybody will enjoy watching it. What do you got, Bette?
Is my next one question? People?
Yeah, I put question people, and I didn't put a comma in it in my notes, so it looks like it's question people, Like, it's like, well, it's a command to go around questioning people.
No, it's just a question, people.
People.
This is, I told Stens in the outline.
She told me it's dumb.
but this has captured.
So I'm looking forward to it being the most awesome thing on the
this
show.
This has captured me for more than several weeks because, you know, I go out and listen to the first wave on XM. You know,
right.
Oh, my credits are going off.
You know what? We've done very well to get this far in the show before the timer went off. I am proud of us.
So here is my question, people.
Okay, question people.
You know, I listen to first wave, new wave music, alternative new wave music from the 80s.
Yes.
Now, there's one song that they play on first wave. And let me tell you, they play it a lot.
Okay.
And I hate it.
Okay.
And I don't know why they play it.
Okay. What is it?
Do you know this song? Well, you know musicals, so you should. One Night in Bangkok.
One Night in Bangkok and the world's your oyster. Yep, I do. I sure do. It's from Chess. Yep.
Yeah.
It's from Chess, a musical that is pretty famously a mess. From what I understand.
Right. How in the hell, is that new wave?
Yeah, I don't know that I would consider it new wave
either. It's Broadway, but when I listen to it, it's ABBA. This goes back to the days of ABBA.
Right.
You know, when you listen to it.
Uh-huh. Because it is written by the people who were in ABBA.
Yeah, so I hear this song over and over and over, and I hate it.
All right. So the question is just is Bette justified for hating this because it's what is the question?
Well, my question is how is this new wave?
How is it new wave? Got
you
it.
Know when you think of all your new wave favorites, you know, Squeeze, Elvis, you know, Madness, whatever, and then there's One Night in Bangkok, when
the
world's
your oyster.
It's nothing.
I can't feel the devil walking next to me.
Yeah.
Well, it's from the same era is the closest I guess I could come.
Well,
it's from
the
same
era.
But, that,
but it's not.
But it's not.
It's not anything.
No, it's not. All right, so listeners, we need you to weigh in on whether or not you think One Night in Bangkok, regardless of whether or not you like the song, because I do actually like the song.
Oh, I don't.
But regardless, I know, that's okay. You know, nobody's ever going to agree on things like that. But do you at least agree with Bette and with me that it is certainly not New Wave? It's certainly not New Wave. What are your thoughts, listeners? Tell us, won't you? Won't you tell us? I hope that you will. All right. So that's question, people. Now, Donald Trump can fuck off.
Donald Trump, fuck off. I don't think you've done anything this week, but still fuck off. Still live.
He probably has done something this week, but we did get some good news, which is that a judge is now forcing him to remove his name from the Kennedy Center.
Yes!
So I'm super
yes!
stoked about that, at least. Haha, fuck you. So that's exciting. Who rules, Bette? Or is it me? Am I first?
I think you're first.
I probably am first. All right. So my rule this week, kind of on the fly, because I don't really have anybody off the top of my head. And then this morning, from 10 to almost 2 o'clock, 4 hours, for 10 to almost 2 o'clock, I was at Bellingham Theatre Guild board of directors retreat. And, you know, retreat. Retreat sounds so pleasant, doesn't it? Doesn't retreat sound like fun in the sun? Exactly. Yeah, we're going to do barbecue and day drinking. No, that's not what this was. This was just a really long meeting on a Saturday morning. And I told Beth I didn't sleep well last night. And that's my own fault. You know, I should have gone to bed earlier. I can't blame anybody else for that. I didn't get quite enough coffee. I went to the meeting. It wasn't a terrible meeting. I've had worse meetings. It was certainly longer than any that I've had recently. But I wanted to give a U rule to somebody who always makes the board meetings pleasant. And that is my friend, Carl. Oh, Carl is one of the very first people I met at the Theater Guild, in fact, because the first play that I did at the Theater Guild, which was Godspell in 1990, Carl was also a member of that cast. So he was one of the very first people I met there. And it's just delightful that he's still around. He was gone for a long, like me, he was gone for a long time and then came back. So I just wanted to give Carl a U rule because he's a good guy. And he's, I think he's got, you know, today it feels like the day of the time we're living in feels like the time of the hot take, right? Everybody wants to have a controversial opinion that gets a lot of clicks and that gets, you get attention for saying something extreme and stupid. But Carl, like me, just favors the cold take, which is, can we all just rein it in a little bit and think about this? You know, I really appreciate Carl. And it's so great to have people like that that are on the board of directors who, can pump the brakes a little bit and say let's not get too bogged down in the weeds here. Let's just talk about the things we're supposed to be talking about today. Carl rules, not for any particular thing that he did today. Just he's a good dude, and he's never had a mention on the Hucklebug before. So there you go. You rule, Carl.
There you go, Carl.
Yeah, Carl's a good dude. Who you got, Bet?
Well, I have a U-rule, and it is from my workmate, Melissa, the new girl.
Yes, who the new I've girl who's been there for 5 years.
Well, yeah, but who I've had, you know, a couple of things about.
Yes, but it's true. This is her first U-rule, I think.
I think it might be.
Ooh, congratulations, Melissa.
When I went out after my therapy appointment on Thursday morning, where my legs were just bereft.
Then you get to go to work and sit for 8 hours.
Then I go to work, but in the afternoon I had a doctor's appointment.
Oh, okay.
And my doctor's appointment is at the Bluestone Clinic, which is down the street from me. It's almost at the corner of Virginia Avenue. Okay. And for most people, it's walkable. But I never walk it. I just get in my car and
you're not go most
and
people.
Find a, you know, go to find a new place. When I got up and said it's time for my appointment, she said, why don't you just walk down the street? And I said, I don't think I can. And she said, well, I think you can. It's beautiful out today. I'll go with you. I'll go with you and I'll walk you down the street.
That's lovely.
And the only reason I kept thinking, no, I can't do this. But the only reason was because my walker won't fit into the door of their place and you have to move it. And she said, oh, come on, just walk down the street with me. It'll be fun. We'll have a good time. And then after you have your appointment, then you'll call us and somebody will come up and lead you up.
Nice. Yeah.
And so for some strange reason, I said, okay. And so we got up and we walked down the street. And, you know, it wasn't completely easy because our streets in Beefield, the sidewalks aren't completely concrete. They have bricks across them every like 50 feet or so that you have to negotiate. But she walked with me. She walked with me. She got me in there. She helped me in with my walker. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got there, I was kind of, you know, tired.
Yeah.
I went to sit in a chair and she turned to leave. And then she said, oh, wait, let me sign you in. I'll sign you in.
Oh, that's nice.
And, she did. And she just did it for me.
Yeah.
And, it was, she got me out walking, which is what I needed to do.
It's
and
good.
And
good
you know, the thing about Melissa is she hears Pat and I talk about each other all the time. Mm. And I think she doesn't want to be a part of it because, you know, we are
there's a family dynamic, right? Yeah.
Right. And she wants to kind of be apart from that,
yeah, but
that she got that out there and talked to me, and I told her and I thanked her so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Melissa, for making me do this. It really means a lot to me.
Yeah, that's
and it
awesome.
Really did mean a lot to me.
That's very, very nice of her. I like that
yes.
about her. All right, good. We're starting to come around on Melissa. Sounds like.
Yes. Yes.
I know it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, guess what, you guys? That's our show.
They think that's it.
That is our show this week. I think we did very well, actually, getting the show put together in a record time. We want to thank everybody for tuning in this week and listening to Hunkabug. I do want to, next week is the Belmont Stakes, so be sure to tune in for that. We'll have our horses.
We'll have our picks.
We'll have our horses. The week after that, June 13th, the weekend of June 13th, there will be no show because my cousin is getting married, so I'm going to be out of town that weekend. But then after that, I know I keep saying this, but after that, I'm pretty sure we'll be able to just do a good run of Hucklebugs. I know it's been a little bit stop-start this late spring, early summer.
That's all
but
right.
We'll be okay, right? Everybody else is out doing stuff, too. I know it. We want to thank everybody, though, for listening. Please leave us a comment. Let us know if you consider One Night in Bangkok to be new wave. That's the primary thing we need you to
that
do this week.
That is what is on my freaking mind.
That's what's on our mind. Is it new wave? I don't
think it is.
It is not new wave. It is not new wave. And it should not be on the new wave channel.
Right.
I don't think it should be on the Show Tunes channel either, if I could just take this a little step further. Only, but it is a show tune, but that I remember that song.
It should be on the
Murray
Head
single.
Channel.
I just it was a hit. It was a radio hit. It got a lot of airplay back in the day. So I don't think it should be on the musicals channel or anything. I mean, it could be. It's a crossover. Same with like "Don't Cry for Me, Argentina" and stuff like that. That also had some chart action. Anyway, let us know what you think about that. And until next week. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We are Bet and Stenny, and you've been listening to The Hucklebug. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
We love you so much. Mwah. 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 Mwah.
That's the way you do it when you do The Hucklebug.
Fucking crickets.
Fucking crickets.